This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Al Pettaway and Amy White, a.k.a. Al and Amy, have been charming fans for years with their uniquely crafted Celtic Appalachian-influenced music that even marries in the occasional hints of blues, new age, and jazz. Amy White is my guest on this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Thanks for tuning in to Americana Music Profiles. It's Season 3, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine in print and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com online. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's join in on another great conversation with one of the Americana music industry's super talented artists. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the podcast today.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. So you are in North Carolina, right?
I am in the mountains, western North Carolina, just north of Asheville. We started coming here years and years and years ago. Gosh, I can't remember. It might be close to two decades. Al is the coordinator for Guitar Week, which is one of the many weeks of folk music held on the campus of Swannanoa Gathering, you know, at ML, Warren Wilson College.
Yeah.
And it was just magical. And each year at the end of that particular week, we'd just start dragging our feet a little heavier, wanting to go back home to D.C. And then after 9/11, we're like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
We can live anywhere.
Yeah.
So we moved.
And so, for our listeners, you are one half of Al and Amy, and give me a little bit of history. You referenced D.C. I think I understood that you guys either grew up or met in Virginia before making your way to North Carolina. And so, tell me a little bit about how you got together and how you became Al and Amy and began to do what you do now.
Well, first came love,
and then marriage.
We had a mutual friend, though, who was a musician, so that was the initial tie. A friend of ours played cello. I just met her through playing background music for a dance drama troupe in D.C., one of my rare musical outings, because I'm pretty much a closet musician. And she played on Al's debut fingerstyle guitar album with Ringstones, which really... It was his coming out as who he really is, his composer side, after playing lots of bluegrass. Anyway, there was just there was a concert at National Geographic Society. They hold regular concerts there, and it was a Celtic music concert. It was Alton in time for St. Patrick's Day, which we're coming up on now. And, you know... Diana said, you ought to come. A lot of my friends from work are coming. Both Al and Diana worked at Geographic. And I worked right down a couple blocks from there, and I said, oh, what the hell? So I walked up and went there, and Al and I saw each other from across the crowded room, and we're like, there you are.
Wow, that's cool.
And that was that. So we went and ate Thai food, green curry. You know, we didn't drink beer, but we had green curry. that was it. I mean, we just knew we needed to be together. But it was love at first sight. Music did bring us together, but we didn't realize that the music was going to be such a part of our lives. It just happened organically.
You guys have been
playing harmonies, you know?
And you guys have been making music together for how long? How long ago was that?
Very soon after we got together, which was surprising. So I would say close to 20 years.
Okay. I read in some of the notes that while you guys were in D.C., you won like close to 50 Whammy Awards, which is the Washington Area
crazy?
Music Awards. Yeah, that's so awesome, though. That's for someone who calls themselves a closet musician to be able to be part of a duo that wins that kind of awards is so really cool.
Well, I kind of jumped on the bandwagon with Al because he had his own thing going. He started out doing bluegrass, and then, like I was saying, the Whispering Stone CDs just really opened up a new world for him. He really loved the whole world of fingerstyle guitar, and that's really where he shines, although he can play any old style he wants. I just started joining him, and so he already had a following.
Yeah.
But a lot of what he was doing at that time and what we ended up playing together kind of verged on New Age. It wasn't really even new grass. It was more New Age meets Celtic folk. And I think, to be fair, a lot of the reasons why we won so many awards is that they didn't know where to put us, and we didn't fit neatly into any one category. So for a while, people were calling it the Al and Amy category. So, so there's just a wealth of talent there, and now an amazing wealth of talent here in Asheville, too. Just everywhere you look, it's just fantastic. So we just happen to be lucky to have our own little category for a while.
Yeah. Well, and I there was a... A little YouTube story created by somebody, maybe there in North Carolina. And I found that very interesting, and especially the part about and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but I think you even said that, or maybe he did that, that Al was responsible or indirectly at least for helping bring the music out of you, and was able to get you and your dad together. And your dad was a musician in his own right, and that was kind of pivotal
to bring
all this music together. Tell me a little bit about that.
Al was responsible for bringing it out into the public for the most part, because I'm not one of those people who has to be on the stage. I don't really care whether or not I get that kind of attention. However, I've always been a composer, so I've always been compelled to write.
Okay.
So, the difference is, you know, whether it's in the closet or out on the stage or at least out on a recording. I had never recorded my work before.
Okay.
I just commit it to memory. And Al was really wonderful about encouraging me to record it, make a record of it, literally. And that started, and that kind of reinforcement, it's really affirming. It's very powerful, and to have someone believe in your work and think that it needs to be preserved makes all the difference in the world. So I, as a result, I've continued. I felt better about my work because someone else sees value in it as well. So that's what Al is responsible for, that. And my father was in the National Symphony Orchestra for over 47 years.
Oh, cool.
He was the principal English horn player and oboe player. I grew up with classical music in the house. Both my parents taught. But I was always musical. I was steeped in music, but I never learned how to read music. I guess it's a form of dyslexia. The notes just jump around. So that might be why I was drawn to folk music, Celtic music in particular. I'm just listening to it. I loved it. I really appreciated that much of it, or most of it, was an oral tradition as opposed to written.
Right.
But part of the downside of that is that I can't play a lot of the music I love, like Debussy, Ravel. I mean, I'm not good enough to be able to play that by ear.
Right.
Although I can kind of hang tech and realize I'm getting closer.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But because of that, I wasn't able to play music with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't play music with my father because he was what I like to call paper trained, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
What we did is I was writing a lot of solo piano music at the time.
Uh-huh.
That's really probably the most accurate representation of who I am artistically, is my solo piano work. And I decided to write something for my father because I actually had in Al aside from a partner and a lover, I also had an interpreter and a translator.
Yeah,
so
that's
Al
so cool.
had it happened to have his little pocket guide of how to translate the different instruments into different keys for reading, and so Al wrote down the parts I had in mind for my father on oboe, and Dad was able to read it, and we had that rehearsal the first time, and just, you know, I think I was 30 years old by the time we got to play music together for the first time, and it was really amazing.
Yeah.
And we had one performance together at my album release concert. He and I played two pieces live off of my Bittersweet solo CD with a couple duets.
Yeah.
And what was amazing is that he and I, it was never happened to me before, but he and I got a standing ovation before intermission. I mean, it was a beautiful thing.
That's so cool.
Really powerful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all Al's fault, partly anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's cool to just hear how the collaboration, you know, was already there. You guys just had to get together and kind of walk into it. You know, and it's so neat that you've been able to parlay what the two of you, who you were before you met, into this really cool journey of music that you guys do now together. And again, in the information that you know that we're working from here, I was really fascinated by the work that you guys do with Ken Burns and providing music for some of the things that he does. Tell me about that a little bit. For people who don't know, Ken Burns, of course, is this really famous documentary film producer and PBS, I think, exclusively, but very cool work and just neat to hear about the musical stuff that you guys do with him.
Well, that was a gift and a surprise. And I suppose you could say it's a matter of dumb luck, but it's not entirely, because, you know, Al's music and my music, it was chosen out of a group of CDs.
You know,
that were probably stacked on the table in their editing studio when they were starting to put music to their footage. So Dayton Duncan, he fell across some of the music. He found it during his work, and he was a fan, as was Dayton's son, Will. So I'm not sure who picked up on it first, if it was Dayton, you know, or Ken, but they enjoyed it and they included it. We haven't been in the studio. We're not like Jacqueline, you know, and the folks up there who live nearby, you know, in New England. They often go into the studio and do work for hire at that, you know, specifically for that project.
Right, sure.
We're more like the other artists whose pre-recorded work they choose to include. But we have just loved being involved in any way, and it's, you know, fun keeping tabs or sending them our favorite Shorpy of the day photos.
Yeah.
Do you know Shorpy? It's such a cool site. Just historical photos. So, like, we saw a whole bunch from the Dust Bowl. And, you know, just whenever we see that, we're reminded of the great work that Florentine Films does. And we love how they stay active. And it's just amazing every time you revisit history how it's constantly linked to today.
Sure.
You know? Like the whole Dust Bowl thing and the climate. What really fascinated me was they were just about to debut that show on PBS, the Dust Bowl, and Al and I were sitting on our porch at the time. We were living in Fairview at about 4,000 feet elevation, and we just had some wide open sky over like 12 mountain ranges, stunning views, and we saw this cloud appear over the horizon, and that wasn't your usual cloud. It wasn't sunset. It couldn't have been those rich, deep colors of sunset. It was brown, and it just came over the mountains. It came towards us. It just enveloped everything. It was just this brown muck.
Wow.
And it turns out, here in North Carolina, that cloud was from the Midwest.
Wow.
It was from areas that were stricken by the Dust Bowl before.
Hmm.
So the timing of that experience
Sure.
Yeah. It was the debut with the series.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A stunning reminder that we really do need to learn from the past.
Right, yeah. How many of his works has your music appeared in, do you know?
National Parks is the main one. We had about 8 tunes in that one, I believe. And Al's wonderful instrumental fingerstyle solo piece, Sligo Creek, was one of the main themes, or the main theme. There's the Roosevelts had a little bit in there, the Dust Bowl.
Okay.
I think Al had a tune or two in the 10th inning about baseball. And
right.
The first time it happened was just perfect because Al's a big Mark Twain fan, so it was included in the Mark Twain.
Yeah, that's cool. Well. Yeah. And you guys do other things besides just play music together, right? Did I see where you also do photography work?
Yeah, well, that ties in with National Geographic as well.
Yeah.
Al had the enviable job of looking at beautiful pictures all day. He was an image editor at the Geographic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a job.
Right.
He actually quit that job to do music full-time. Pretty funny. But, you know, music was calling.
Sure.
And he could always continue looking at pretty pictures. He just had to make them himself, you know.
Yeah.
And now there's the internet, right?
Right. So. That's right. Yeah.
What's really cool is that even though the Geographic went the way of many corporations and had to downsize and trim and outsource, one of the things that had the staying power was the image collection and its commercial viability. So that has grown, and as a result, we were able to become part of their stock image agency, you know, be represented by them.
Okay.
So that is something that, again, that whole form of validation, knowing that people see value in your work, that
sure.
It confirms it, you know, and encourages you. So that's our excuse for buying cameras and going out and updating our computers.
Right, yeah, that's cool.
To handle all those extra gigabytes. But yeah, that's one of our favorite things, of course, and lately I've just totally gotten into digging in the dirt and planting, and we just got this sweet property in Weaverville. I'm not in love with the dirt here. It's that hard red clay.
Right, yep.
My new best friend is a pickaxe. But, I've decided to make a little mini arboretum. My timing really is poor though, because I planted half an arboretum last year, and then we had the worst drought.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. And also related to cameras and critters, which is, I guess, one of the reasons why we ended up first talking about all this, is critters, you know, Rescue Me Project.
Right.
I love critters. Everybody does. It's the great bipartisan cause, right?
It's
love of critters. And I counted them today. I was going to tell you I had 8 critter cams on our property, but I think I have more than 12.
Wow.
You know those high-end game cameras?
Right, yeah.
People put around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I have quite a collection. And I spy on the wildlife, or rather I admire the wildlife.
Yeah.
And my favorite is when the bears come and mark the trees, you know, it's like a Disney film, scratching their backs.
That's cool.
Or when they interact with the cameras and try to pick them off.
Sure, yeah.
That's always fun. But we started doing that in Fairview when we were looking for the big cat. We're still looking for the big cat. We see signs but haven't seen the cat itself.
Okay.
So we see every
other cool.
bird.
Okay,
so
yeah.
That's the other thing we enjoyed.
And you mentioned that's this is the new album project for you, Critters, is that right?
Right.
So tell me a little bit more about that musically and how that incorporates the idea of this.
Well, this was I would say it's largely the brainchild, you know, it's a Stephen Briggs idea. Stephen runs Blue Night Records and Blue Night Soundscapes.
Right.
And he just started Blue Night Soundscapes and came across our music and was asking if we're interested in participating. And so he heard my first album of songs mostly an instrumental writer, but I had some songs, and he heard my song, The Best Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think he had bandied around the idea of doing this, some kind of benefit project for animals. He had talked with Missy Raines about it, and of course, people like Emmy Lou have done great work. You know, mm-hmm. She started Bonaparte's Retreat for Animals, and you know, we all want to do something to help, right?
Right.
And I had done a benefit concert for the Asheville Humane Society in the past, in conjunction with this book that I made, a photo montage book of cats with wings. And, you know, I've had fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he heard the song, and I guess it was just a little bit more incentive, and he thought I'd be a natural fit. And so he asked me to join him in creating this compilation CD to benefit animal welfare programs.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Man, that was like way back in 2014. We've been working on this for a while. And we just had so much fun looking for songs that would fit, uh-huh. cat and dog songs by male and female artists. And, you know, there's plenty out there with innuendo, but we weren't looking for the R-rated
right.
kind of material, you know, so we're keeping it clean.
Yeah.
there were so many awesome songs we couldn't include, but these, we just love the ones we found for this
okay.
song that we chose.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. So what's new? Where are you and Al now musically? What's going on with you guys? What's the season look like for you guys musically? What's on tap?
Well, right now we're calm down.
Okay.
We're not traveling as much. That's by design.
Uh-huh.
Al is really busy with another dream job. It just keeps on happening. He works a lot with Dream Guitars.
Uh-huh.
In Weaverville, it's a high-end luthier shop. They buy and trade and sell just amazing quality guitars. It's
okay.
like the golden age of luthery
yeah.
right now. Just fantastic stuff.
Huh.
And Al's job is he gets to go in there every once in a while, once a week or so, depending on how much they got shipped in. And he gets to play and just discover these amazing guitars by different artists.
Yeah.
And also some antique guitars.
Yeah.
So every day he comes down and is like, oh, my God, I play the most amazing guitar. I'm
That's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
So, what a horrible job, right?
Yeah, it's a horrible job. But what's nice is that it allows us the freedom to stay home a little bit more.
Sure, yeah.
And to work on music. We're not touring as much, but it doesn't mean we're not writing and that. Al's just been doing some really cool solo fingerstyle. A lot of it's blues style, so he's been releasing some of those. I did another album of songs I released last year. And so we're starting to come back together, and we're thinking, oh, maybe we should do another album of winter theme songs. We absolutely love the music, you know,
uh-huh.
for Christmas, for winter,
okay, yeah.
especially the old, you know, the old carols, especially
yeah.
200, 300 years old. Those are our favorites. So we're thinking about doing that. We actually have a whole bunch of tunes that we had done that we just decided not to include on previous albums. So we've got a good bit of material already.
Okay, that's neat.
So I think that's our next project. We're just kind of taking time, and I'm ready to go in the garden.
Almost time, right?
Oh, yeah, man, almost time. So we're just going to fit it in. We're just kind of enjoying slowing
yeah.
down a little bit, but we won't stop writing at all.
Yeah.
When we get out a little bit, we're going to a really cool musical instrument museum out in Arizona. Soon, and we're playing that next month.
Okay.
And so we do a little bit of mini tours. We love the short weekend.
Yeah.
We love going back to our old home place. That's in the D.C. area.
Uh-huh.
You know, just to visit. So, you know, we're doing a little bit, but that's just about how we like it.
So if folks would like to get in touch with you guys or acquire copies of your works or find out more about you, reach out. What's the best way for them to get in touch?
Well, just email us at alandamy@mindspring.com. It's ALANDAMY.
Okay.
And or you can go through our website, alanamy.com, and just email us through there. And we've got plenty here to supply, you know, service radio. But also, the record labels we've been on are just, they are totally happy to send stuff to the way of DJs. So Maggie's Music in particular, we put a lot out on her label, and they're just great folks out of Annapolis, Maryland. You've probably heard of them. They do mostly Celtic.
Sure,
stuff.
Yeah.
So they've got some of our recordings as well, Al's previous stuff too.
I'm guessing you guys are on iTunes and all the other typical outlets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
iTunes and CD Baby, which was down the other day. and, of course, online. And, you know, we are the slower musicians. We could be putting all these downloads on our website.
Yeah.
You know, we got bios out of date. We'll get there one of these
Yeah,
days.
That's okay. Well, that's why we're doing this. So we can.
But we do have an online presence. So
yeah, good.
People
okay.
can find us.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thanks.
If they search for Petaway, they might have a better chance because
okay.
his name's less common than Amy White. So,
yeah. Okay.
Petteway.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Amy. This has been really cool talking to you and getting to know more about you guys, and I wish you guys the best.
Oh, thank you, Greg. Thank you so much for calling and for being willing to talk a bit. And thanks for getting the word out about Rescue Me. It's being released April 30th, just, you know, in honor of National Pet Adoption Day.
Right.
And if people go to Elderly Instruments,
yes,
that's really, they're being really cool about selling pre-release copies. 100% of the profits are going to animal welfare causes, so it's really
awesome.
Important.
Okay, good.
To get the word out about that. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share that with
you. Yeah, and you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Inside Track. We sure do appreciate you sticking around. Join us again real soon when we get together with another great artist talking about their music. Have a great day.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.